everyone, welcome to This Is Whole Life. It is August, it's hot, and I hope that where you are at is cooler than here. We are, of course, in Orlando, Florida at Whole Life Church, and as in every week, we're going a little bit deeper into the message, and this week, I think we have, it feels like there's a different vibe in the room, and I feel like it's different. As I look to my left, because to my right, as always, is lead pastor Ken Wetmore, and across the table in kitty corner, 45-degree angle. I like to throw in a new one each time, is our worship pastor, Melanie Bachman. And to my left is, we decided that before the show, this is her second time on the podcast, Aubrey Taupe. Right?
Yes, sir.
There we go. So this week, you know, Aubrey takes care and oversees the children and family ministries here at Whole Life. And so it was a little bit of like, you know, I felt like there was a little bit of back to school, even though it wasn't really back to school because, well, you know, that's kind of what you do. Yeah. And you've been back to school with some with OJA and you've got another one this afternoon to go over to Children's Academy. So you've been busy, you and the kiddos, right?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. So just for like, just to catch people up, because it's probably been a year since you've been on.
Right.
Just give us like a 3-minute, what's Aubrey up to?
What's Aubrey up to? Wow. Well, Aubrey loves to spend time with the kiddos. So I go over to our Children's Academy next door and hang out with our littles. They have anywhere from 6-week-old all the way up through pre-K. And they are a ball of energy and fun. I go over to Orlando Junior Academy. I went over there this morning. They had their first day of school. Kids are excited. Had some time in prayer. Really good start to the school year. Our Pathfinders and Adventures is getting ready to kick off in a couple of weeks. Tons of kids, over 100 between the two. Probably closer to 150 between the two.
Wow.
Kids are going to be starting with our clubs. We're super excited. We even have kids from local schools that have signed up, not only Adventist schools, but public schools. So we're excited about that partnership. And it's going to be good stuff coming down the pike.
All right. Well, all of those, if you're interested, you know, Pathfinders, Adventures, OJA, Children's Academy, all the links to those will be in the show notes today. So if you want to check those out, if you're like, ooh, I didn't know there was such a thing, or maybe I'd like to learn more. And I'll also put Aubrey's phone number so you can call her directly.
Perfect. Look forward to all of the contacts.
Maybe we'll go with the email.
That would be better.
Oh, okay. Well, just checking. So before we get into this week's message, last week we also had a guest speaker in a message entitled Bigger Than Me. And my anonymous podcast friend sent me a text message afterwards this week saying, thanks for submitting the podcast in a timely manner. You're welcome. I did not fall asleep this past week. So you got it before 7 a.m. You missed that conversation last week. And they went on to say, Steve Carlson gave a profound message last week, and my takeaway is this. Our bags can be packed, our outfits chosen, timing punctual, ticket in hand and itinerary made, but if we are left sitting on the bench when the plane flies overhead, it doesn't matter. Get on the plane is what matters. Imposter syndrome was mentioned, and I love it. Who are we versus who we present we are? Are they the same? Who are we when no one can see us? I think a lot of people struggle with this, and I don't want to tell you who I serve or tell how I'm a Christian. I want you to see me and know that I am. I want my life to be an example of what I am. I did HR for years, and I would tell people, be the position that you want. Do the extra time. Make the extra efforts. And when the opportunity arises, you'll be known for what you are already doing, and that transition will be so easy. It shouldn't be a question of, will they be able to do this? I struggled going to sleep on Friday evening because I was missing my evening story. I feel like maybe the staff should take turns telling stories. Ken, Melanie, Freud, Anderlene, Aubrey, and Carla, and now Steve. Welcome, Steve, to the family.
All I know is I've done my turn.
Yeah, I noticed I wasn't asked to do a turn, so I guess I am off the hook. So
there's a bedtime story?
Oh, man. See, we do.
How did I not know about this?
Well, I don't know.
You must not listen to the podcast.
Until we get...
Cut. Cut.
Until that episode gets taken down for copyright, it's up, at least for now. So
I didn't know if it was like a Whole Life original bedtime story, because that would be kind of cool.
Well, we are currently taking applications for writers, copy editors, and so yeah, if that's your jam, let us know.
Understood.
Aubrey could be the writer of the tales, and
as long as they're appropriate for children. I mean, children's bedtime stories are
it was a children's bedtime story, and you were asked to read one. So I guess
there goes
if you write
Song
one,
of Solomon.
Wow. What about Book of Judges? I'd rather read Song of Solomon than read through the Book of Judges.
You know, maybe we're down for a comic
I think
book
most
series.
People would miss what's going on in Song of Solomon, whereas in Judges, it's pretty blatant.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Maybe we could do an audio theater.
Oh.
Wow, you're a glutton for punishment, Randy.
Yeah, right?
Dramatized audio.
We can only do one episode a year, but I mean, it might be cool. I think that's what we have the space for, something like that. But hey.
Song of Solomon, where a flock of goats is not actually a flock of goats.
I am just going to keep on moving.
Right. Flock of goats?
No, it's just stop, please.
Okay.
We're not. Yes.
All right. Well, so I will check on that. I will chat GPT that later to figure this one out, because this I am.
We're moving on.
Right. We're moving on.
All right, Randy, take us somewhere.
Take
else.
Us somewhere. Well, here's what I was going to say was the name of your sermon was
Speak Life.
Speak Life. And so I was like, okay, where's she going with this? And I had multiple people that talked to me on, including, Lucas was one. I got to meet his mom after church, and his father-in-law, and like the whole, there was just like tons of people. And it was just like, you know, that is just like, it's a sermon that you don't always think like, man, I hope somebody preaches on like being positive and using good self-thought. And, you know, then also saying kind things versus unkind things, and how those have a lasting effect on us and the people that are in the receiving end of those. But also just like, that's such a good thing to be reminded of from time to time. Like sometimes we get pretty deep into things, you know, the water was pretty deep all summer. And so
was it,
I felt like it for me. It was, I don't know. I mean,
we did have the Wetmore series.
That's it. So I feel like maybe it's not the deepest subject in the world, but also sometimes the ones that aren't so are like, oh, that was just refreshing. I was more reminded than it was I have to think, or I have to agree, or I have to disagree. Like, this is when you hope the friend that's been hurt or the loved one that's been hurt listens. And here's a pastor saying, you know, hey, I'm not perfect. And I have things just like you that we all regret and wish we could take back. And the thing that you have that nobody else has quite the same. I mean, Ken gets participation, right? He can get a volunteer, but nobody gets the cute volunteers quite like the family and the kids pastor. And the kiddos, I'm just like, oh, come on. This isn't even fair. Like how cute they were.
Unscripted.
And then
magic.
When you handed the little girl that tube of toothpaste and asked her to squeeze it all out, I was like, this is like, I want to go up and squeeze the toothpaste. How come she didn't pick me? Because I would have totally gone up and squeezed that toothpaste. And then the look, though, that only a kid could give you when you're asking for now, and you set it up and said, now we're gonna whatever I ask you, you have to promise you're gonna do your best to complete the task, right? Like you have to put all your energy into it, figure it out. We're gonna do this. And when you said, when you said, okay, let's put the toothpaste back in the tube, she looked at you like you had like three heads or something, like you had turned into this interstellar creature that was now asking her to do something that did not compute. And you just can't get any more honest in a kid's face. It's like, she's like, I don't, like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, you know, this doesn't work. Like, you set me up. Like, it was all right there. And then you're like, okay, come on. And so she like tried one little, I'm not even going to bother. And using that analogy to say that these are the words that go out that you can't put back. I don't know about anybody else, but then as soon as you said that, it's like, oh, I can think of a few.
Right.
I can think of a few that are more recent than I would like.
Me too.
More, maybe more, did they have to have that much oomph on the way out? It could have, maybe it could have even been okay if it would have just been said in a nice way. And then the perfume, though, the perfume was perfect because it's like, spray the perfume. And she knew she couldn't put the perfume back in any more than the first girl knew she couldn't put the toothpaste in. But the look on her face when it was like, oh, but that's when you spray the perfume and it stays with somebody and it has that sweet smelling, has that positive effect on people. And I was like, never thought about those two in exactly that same way. So now every time that happens, I'm going to think about toothpaste and I'm going to think about the perfume.
And that was the goal, right? Like to try to tie it to something that we all do. We all prayerfully brush our teeth every day. If you do, then hopefully you'll remember, you know, not everybody puts on perfume and not everybody puts on cologne, but.
How many teeth do we have?
34.
If you have all of your teeth, if you have them all.
Yeah.
Your molars, wisdom.
But you do brush what you have, right?
Me? Yeah. Well, if I go outside.
Yeah, that toothpaste, did we recycle that though? Because I mean, there's, I'm sure that my mother saw that and thought that there might be people somewhere in the world who needed toothpaste. So
I will say it was a little wasteful, but hopefully it was only temporary waste for eternal impact.
It was an investment.
It's an investment.
There's like two or three things that make me go back. If I leave my phone, you know, you're going to have things that you don't remember to do. If you don't have your phone, people can't get in touch with you. Got to have your phone. If I don't brush my teeth, if I'm going back.
You don't have a toothbrush at the office like the rest of us, Randy. What?
That's a little extreme. I didn't realize people kept toothbrushes at the office.
You keep a toothbrush at the office?
All right, raise your hands. Who has a toothpaste?
Toothbrush, toothpaste. I have all the emergency necessities.
I will say I have seen quite the bag that she carries with her with quite the amount of wonderful self-care.
So you have a toothbrush and toothpaste here at the office?
Yes.
Aubrey, do you?
No.
I do not.
I don't, but I do have.
But you think it's a good idea?
Well, you know, it's probably not a bad idea after lunch just to
get a brush and a hair dryer, deodorant.
Well, I have a,
if something bad goes down.
I hate to get away from the theology of this, but how many times a day do you brush your teeth or your tooth? I mean, your teeth.
I brush the ones I have when they need to be brushed.
Oh, my word.
Oh, Jesus, help us all.
Well, you know, I like to say that I have to brush my teeth a minimum of twice a day.
Amen.
Like when I get up in the morning, like the first thing I want to do is just brush my teeth and just, you know, get nice cold water, rinse out your mouth, take a big glass of water and drink it. So you just feel like your mouth feels a little more fresh.
Just like putting toothpaste on your finger count.
Not serious. That's disgusting.
Why? If you wash your hands, what's the problem?
No, you're not going to get all of your teeth clean.
Well, I will. And I've used that before. If you don't have a brush, I'm not using someone else's brush.
No.
Somebody else's finger.
I'd do that if it was clean. I don't
Ew.
Care. I mean, that's.
We're about to make Randy prove it.
So, Ken, are you offering?
No.
But seriously, here, I mean, we end up doing every once in a while, like there's some stuff that needs to be done outside. So I always keep, you know, some deodorant, a little body spray just to mask if I need to. And if it's really bad, I have a towel and I have some soap. So if I need to take a shower here, I can.
Oh, wow.
Because we do have showers on second, third floor. So
you guys are dedicated. I'm just like, if I don't smell that good, we're going home.
I feel like such a slob right now. I mean,
I'm just saying.
I come to work with my computer, and that's
Well, I do. I mean, it's in the storage closet, so it's not, you know, I don't like leave it out like there's bathroom supplies.
You're not trekking back and forth with all of your toiletries every day.
No, mm-hmm. I
have separate ones that I keep here at the office.
So whole life family, what I would say to you is, are you here on a Sabbath and you have something stuck in your teeth? One of us may or may not have a spare toothbrush and toothpaste. Just come and find us. We'll figure it out.
I have safety pins. I have an iron. I actually do have a blow dryer in case somebody spills water down the front of their dress right before they go up to do praise team. I'm ready to take care of.
No, yeah, you have to be.
You and I need to switch offices because you need more space.
I know. More closet space to hold all this stuff.
I'm minimalist.
I feel good about the fact that there are, you know, there's some extra supplies hanging around should we need them.
That's good to know. I don't know. Aubrey, how have these words been so far? I mean,
hysterical.
Okay.
I think they're very positive and enlightening.
Okay.
Enlightening.
So perfume, not
I was just waiting for you to pull Toby Mac out at the end. That was my only complaint about your sermon. I thought you probably had some sort of friendship with Toby and what? And he was going to.
You know Toby?
No, but I did. Quote, I don't know if you noticed in my run at the
end. Oh, I noticed. That's why I was waiting for
a couple of times. But I didn't think about doing the song until after first service when a couple of people came up. They're like, why didn't you play the song at the end? And I was like,
speak life.
Oh, that's Toby.
Yeah, that's Toby Mac. And so I was like, well, I guess I didn't think about doing it soon enough. You know, I wanted to give the AV team heads up. And they were like, no. Go tell them right now. So after second service, after the postlude awesomeness from our praise team, he did play Speak Life.
Oh.
Yep.
I must have walked out too soon.
Yeah. You missed the jam sesh.
I did. I think I was out in the lobby. It was kind of fun to be. I didn't sit on the second row this week. I sat on probably the third row from the back.
You're pretty far back when I was looking out through the lights. Yeah. I was like, look at him.
Yeah.
You were enjoying just listening.
Yeah. First service, I sat there. And then second service, I was just busy trying to find people seats.
You're busy. So full. It is such a blessing.
It is.
Yeah. No, we'll never say no to.
Shout out. I don't know if they'd want to be embarrassed, but shout out to the family. I felt so bad. If you're listening to this, I want you to know I felt horrible because there was a family on the back row. And this is how cool our families are and just everybody a whole life. But there's a family on the back row and I saw a seat or two beside them. And so I said, are there two seats that are free there? They're like, yeah, sure. Absolutely. So I went, I found two people and they got up and walked into the overflow. The family got up and made and got up and went to, I was like, no, I wasn't telling you. And they, no, we're happy to do this.
That was nice.
And
that's a huge blessing.
It hit me. Yeah. It's like, wow, that's living whole life's values right there. Mm-hmm. And I was just really touched by that. So, I mean, I also felt really bad because, you know, parents with kids, they just got up and they went into the overflow room, sat down. I went and was like, I'm really sorry. And they're like, no, this is, we're happy to do, no problem.
Hmm.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, you know who you are.
Yeah, thank you.
Bless
thank you.
We have people scouring the back rows all rows for seats.
I've been really impressed at how many people are willing to take the front row seats. I went to a group of people and was like, oh, I love guys in the front. And they're like, we'll take it. Let's go.
And I've even seen families that are, you know, three people and they'll take two seats.
Yeah.
They'll pile in. They're like, I have a 10-year-old. That's fine. They put the 10-year-old on their lap. They're like, we are making room. We want people to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's very, very cool. Because usually, I mean, any church you go to, talk about two seats are like,
hey. Talk about speaking life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
So I really wished I would have gotten the Toby Mac reference because I would have been looking for it too.
Sorry,
you don't
want to
sing now, do you?
I loved how you.
I'm good. Ken did his little.
Okay. Yeah, that was
a little solo.
Well,
you could probably improve on it.
No, you're good.
I really love the story that you told about your teacher to start things off. I thought that was a great story.
Thank you. I still smile and think of him fondly. Like, he changed my life. If I think about it too much, I'll cry because he's a huge part of who I am today.
And this was where was this teacher at? The reason I ask is that I, when I was out at Upper Columbia Academy, I don't think it's the same person, but I actually was one of the teachers there was Mr. Yonke, and he was amazing as well.
Oh, that's so cool. So he was at Harmony High School here in Florida, out past St. Cloud, and it was a public school and just taught 9th and 10th grade math. He's not Adventist. He's Christian, though.
Yeah.
And made a
not the same
impact.
Person then. Yeah. But yeah, this must be, hey, so here's a pro tip. If you encounter on, you know, you have the option to pick a teacher and the last name is Yonke,
go for it.
Go with it.
Go for it.
Because so far, 2 for 2.
Let's go.
Well, that was, it's funny that you said that. That was my next question was, like, how did, where and how and when, because I wasn't sure if you started, I may have missed it. I didn't write it down. And then who else had, like, who's your Mr. Yonke? Who did you have a teacher like that?
I've had several really great teachers, but actually one that stands out actually is a teacher's wife.
Mm. Wow.
Who gave me a note one day, and I read it, and she had written some really nice things about me, and I felt really seen. And it's one of those things where you don't think anybody notices, and then someone notices something that they appreciate about you. And it's like, oh, wow, somebody knows me.
So you had a Yonke as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mrs. Chabot from third grade at Captain Gilmer Elementary School, and Mrs. White from fifth and sixth grade at Captain Gilmer Elementary School. Both were super good to me and just really there for me when I needed it. And I think about some college teachers that really invested. And then I think one of maybe the underrated ones is I remember taking a class I thought would have absolutely no bearing on my life whatsoever, which was intro to news reporting.
Hmm.
And Mr. Roof, who taught that class at Southern Adventist University, it was probably one of the most applicable classes I've ever taken that I had no idea how much it was going to impact my future life. But the things he taught us in that class, when I did go into news, it was a lifesaver for me because it was what I needed. And the other part about him, he was a hard teacher. He expected everything to be turned in on time. He was one of those teachers that if you don't turn it on time, it's just a zero. Mm-hmm. So turn it in or don't. And that's because he came from a news background, which is if it's not ready by newscast, it ain't.
Doesn't matter.
It's but that lesson was pretty valuable.
Sure.
And it's been valuable. So anyway, so I'm grateful for a lot of different teachers, and Mr. Roof being another one of them, and Volker Henning, another great teacher in college.
Volker, that's a cool name.
Yeah, super cool name.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Like, a lot of us are blessed and have more than one Mr. Mm-hmm. Yonke. I have probably 6 or 7 that I can think of. He's the most poignant of them all, but it's really cool when we have multiple of those. Did you have one too, Randy?
I went to the Green Bay Adventist Junior Academy from grade 1 to 10. So we had 10 grades. So it was 1, 2, and 3 in one room, 4, 5, and 6 in another, and then 7, 8, 9, and 10. And that was the principal that taught, at least during our stay. And my 4th, 5th, and 6th grade teacher, my brother's best friend, it was his dad. His name was Roland Bruntz. Unfortunately, he passed a couple years ago from ALS. Mm. And everyone that went through those classes, you know, that was back when if you got your name on the chalkboard and then the mm-hmm. checks and whatever, and if you wanted to go outside, you know, he used to make us write lines and whatever. And then he came up with the ideal, and this is way back when, don't think bad of him, but you could take a whack with the paddle and you could get every one of those check marks taken off. And I'm like, if you met my family, let's go. Hands on the sink. Let's get this done. I got games to play. I'm getting my butt whooped all the time. So this don't matter to anybody but me. Let's do it. Anyway, he gave me my first job when summer I turned 13. I worked at the produce farm until allergies made that a life-threatening corn. Who knew? Just the tassels of corn coming down on you turned me into a giant hive.
Oh,
wow.
And so that was my last summer working there until right before we moved to Florida. he wanted to hire me back. He's like, no one does, no one manages the strawberry patch like you. Aww. And he's like, I would love to have you back. And can I afford you? And I'm like, I'm sorry, but you can't. I'd love to stay, but I also want to leave Wisconsin. So, you know, it's not just you. And then our principal, Steve Ost, he was amazing. I saw him not that long ago and all the trouble that we gave him. And the he was officiating my grandmother's funeral where I cried like a baby trying to read the obituary. And he was he came up and talked to me and how proud he was he's like, my brother was telling him about, you know, I work here for life, whatever. And it was, you know, just the same person that used to have your back every single day, still has your back 35, 40 years later. And then maybe one of my best teachers, like you guys mentioned, college was when I was going for my marketing degree. I was going to night school, and it was at the tech school, and he was one of the principals of the biggest, one of the best known marketing firms in town, and he gave me a ton of good advice. And really, when I look back on it now, kind of like when you're like, what am I going to do necessarily with design one? How to lay things out, how to have a good eye, when are things symmetrical, how to use fonts correctly. And that was, and I aced that class, and it was like, it was a lab most of the time. So I had a hard time getting there on time. And you couldn't stay late because they'd throw you out. And I still managed to somehow pull off an A in that class. So he was a super helpful person. So
that's amazing.
That's pretty awesome. That, and I'm sure most people have, kind of like we do, multiples.
You know what's wild? I didn't even think about it until now. I probably should go back and add it in the sermon in case I preach it in the future. But Mr. Yonke was so influential that when it came time for graduation, our service was on Saturday. And so my church at the time put on a service for us that were graduating. And they asked me, like, who do you want to come hand you your diploma? They asked the kids, like, who's that person? Hmm. And I was like, Mr. Yonke. And he came to my church and he handed me my diploma for graduating high school.
That's wow. So nice. So
it was pretty awesome experience.
Yeah, those are things you don't forget, especially when you're at that age and you're, you know, someone that's on your side, like, all the time. That's wild that we would be able to remember that. But that just shows you how much that really made a difference. And so I think when you added that in the two hands-on, which you couldn't possibly ignore, and then just the remembrance of kind of at the end, you know, speaking life and speaking, you know, being the truth, but remembering that even though we don't often think how sharp our words are. And I think if we had a tape recorder and a lot of conversations, mm-hmm. we'd go, ooh, maybe that one didn't land like it should, or
yeah,
it wasn't intended that way. So just all around, I think that was a really good, people were resonating with that thought. I don't know who they are personally, but it's, I missed that part of it. It's Wild Coyote, I think.
It's Crazy Coyote.
Crazy Coyote. And they said in the chat, Randy, I'm having a subpar coffee, but it's coffee and I raise my mug to you. Happy Sabbath, all y'all. You made my day. Great sermon, Aubrey. Thank you. Aww. And so there was just a ton of those types of comments that, you know, like I said, I think people just that was something I could digest and just remind myself. And again, every time you brush your teeth, once, twice a week, and, you know, you'll remember. And, you know, if you put on some cologne or, you know, by Menin, anyone old enough for that one?
Nope.
What perfume, by the way, what fragrance was that?
It was actually Melanie's. She was gracious enough to allow me to borrow her perfume. So I don't know. What fragrance was that, Melanie?
It's Clinique, called Happy Heart. I thought it was appropriate for the occasion.
So. I should have said the name of it. You did tell me that. It would have been so cute.
Oh, my word. That is because Melanie had it. Of course she did.
That's the kind of thing you only get on the podcast, friends.
True whole life insight, guys.
You don't even know how this comes together until you join the podcast. That's for sure. Okay. So Lucas is on vacation this week, so it's going to be quite a question with Randy, because we did have one. And this is from Anonymous. And it said, words do hurt. Words do give power. But how does one take constructive criticism where it means to empower you, or the, but somehow in your core soul, you try your best not to take it personally. I know in order to grow, one has to be able to take feedback. One has to be able to have a thick skin to criticisms, but sometimes perceptions can get the best of what is being said. And then you miss the important point. You ask yourself, what am I doing wrong? Why do I feel so attacked for something that you inherently try your best to do?
So that is the question. This I know who came up, you know, after the service and asked me this question, and I have been there more times than I'd like.
Sure.
And it is not easy to receive critique when it is well meant, but it still hurts because, ouch, you know, like growth is not easy. And so one of the things I've been thinking about with that is knowing who God says we are and balancing that with who God calls us to be. Knowing that I'm doing the best I can and I have room to grow. Knowing that, man, I'm not perfect and I make mistakes, so I need to learn even though this hurts. And also, man, this isn't over. Like, there's a second chance. There's grace. There's growth. So that's easier said than done, though. I know that.
Yeah. How long do you stay in the, this really hurts. I know what I did wrong. You know, that, and I think that's kind of what this person is saying, is that I know I didn't do it the way I should have done it, or I would have liked to have done it, because sure, I know I need to grow. And then when you get, you know, kind of nailed to the wall for it, you're like, wow, that really hurts. But it's, you know, maybe even it was said appropriately, but it still doesn't take the sting away. I think that's one of it, is how long do you wait there in that part, feeling like I did it wrong, or I'm analyzing how I can be better, versus going, okay, I made a mistake. I asked for forgiveness. I'm ready to see myself as much as I can see how God sees me.
I think the timing, and I know this, it's my personal answer, so Melanie, Ken, and Randy, chime in. The timing varies on the incident, right? Like if I say something that is, you know, like, hey, watch it, right? And I come off with a little sharp tone, and then it's like, okay, man, hey, can you watch out next time, right? That's a much shorter of like, in my mind, a moment of like, oh, I have to be careful, versus something that's extremely personal or extremely impactful, yeah, and that lasts longer. But what holds me up and where I work on for me is making sure I forgive myself, because ooh, that's where I can get stuck. That's why I can start to ruminate, or I can start to take longer, because I internalize the words and then I can say, oh man, that means I'm horrible. Or instead of saying, okay, yeah, that hurt, but I can forgive myself and I can move forward. And I think that's a key component that's often missed.
I think it's also important for people who find themselves in a situation where they have to give constructive feedback to really think through, Am I addressing the behavior? Am I addressing the situation, or am I making it personal?
Mm, true.
Because I think that you can call out a behavior without necessarily damaging a person's soul. I remember I was teaching at a university and I had a student that I had to fail. Mm. And I knew it was a serious situation for, you know, academic probation and all that kind of stuff. And I hated to do it, but I had to. And so I really spent a lot of time thinking through, how am I going to talk to this student? Because I don't want this to be, you know, a point of failure that they can't come back from. Mm. So we ended up having a really good conversation, and he actually came up, I saw him later, and he came up and gave me a hug, and I thought, okay, all right. You know, I was thankful that I was able to do a hard thing without damaging him personally.
But that takes a little bit of prep, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. I had to, I thought it through, and I prayed about it, and, I just tried to think of what can I say that will communicate the seriousness of and it was a situation where the student just didn't put in the work that needed to be put in, and I laid it out, and I said I cannot possibly pass you with what you've turned in. However, this isn't about you as a person. You can still go on and be completely successful. I hope maybe I can see you in another one of my classes in the future. And if you're having issues, we can talk about it. But, you know, this is the situation for right now.
So is that the key then I feel like Ken and I are kind of on the same wavelength when it comes to, okay, we have a problem. Let's talk about this. Let's get it out. And if it's usually the less words, the better, because that's speedy and expedient. And then we can move on, because you're supposed to know how I.
Well, the easy way would have just been to put the F on his transcript and let him find it by himself. But
yeah, but I mean, but
I felt like as his teacher, I felt an additional responsibility, because I felt like, yes, this whole class has been a learning experience, but now this failure is going to be a learning experience too. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to help not only facilitate his education of his learning in class, but I wanted to facilitate his learning as a person who needed to grow in a particular area so that he could succeed after that.
Because I feel like we were raised with, or at least I was, and I think Ken's mentioned a little bit of it before, like, you know, it just, you kind of learn because you learn from your mistakes. So buck up, buttercup, and let's move on. So you do have to.
Well, that's why I critique you just directly, Randy.
Well, and I, you know.
Right, but think about it. We've all been told things as adults, not just as children. We can all remember hurtful things as a child, but we've been told things as an adult that hurt. And to drill down on this person's point, it's like, whether the person said them well or not, which we all should, Melanie, right? We should be very careful and intentional to differentiate as the giver of the information. But as the receiver of the information, when it hurts, what do you do? And I feel like that's the essence of the question, right?
But it's so much about being prepared, I think. Usually I get in trouble when I just say what I think, and then it's like, oh boy, I'm in toothpaste already.
You know, when I worked in radio and television news, there's just a lot of critique that happens. There's a critique from your news director. There's a critique from other reporters. And then there's a lot of critique from people watching. And I think that was at least a good warm up for being a pastor.
Mercy. Mercy, God.
So, and at that point, one of the things I started adopting for myself is it fair? And I go home and really think it through. Is what this person's saying, is it fair? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, your tie was askew. Well, that's fair. It was. Okay.
Didn't they have wardrobe?
No. And that was the other. So I always visualize buckets. There's the stuff that's fair, and there's something I can do about it. Mm-hmm. So next time I can check the mirror before I go out on, I go. When there's a commercial break and I go quickly brush my teeth in the bathroom, I can make sure that I look to make sure that my tie is back to where it's supposed to be.
Who doesn't want pretty minty fresh breath on air?
Scratch and sniff TV. Anyway, so then there's the stuff that there's something I can do. It's fair, and there's something I can do about it. Then there's the stuff that's fair, and there's absolutely nothing I can do about it. It's like I got criticized for having cheap looking suits. Well, I was buying my own on a $30,000 a year budget. So I was not there, you know, I guess I could have spent $5,000, you know, 1/6 of my income to get one nice suit. But, you know, that wasn't realistic. And so there's the stuff that it's like, that's fair, but I can't do anything about it. And so I'm going to have to live with that. Those are, I think, one of the hardest ones for me to live with, because it's like, I want to do something about it. It's fair, but I can't, I don't know what to do. And then there's the stuff that's unfair, but I can do something about it. It's like, okay, you're not being nice. This isn't fair, but I can still do something to make it better. And then there's the stuff that's unfair, and I'm not going to do anything about it because it's frankly unfair, and I'm not going to fix it. And so for me, and I don't know that this would work for every personality, but for my personality, where I was literally getting cussed out on a semi-regular basis by somebody in news, it helped me to kind of survive and to be able to, you know, compartmentalize. This is something I can do something about. This is something I can't do something about. This is fair. This is unfair. And it was a way for me to say, okay, there's in life, there's what you can control and there's what you can't control. There's just what people say to you. You cannot control what people will say stuff. And you know, and whoever says, you know, that it's only sticks and stones. I mean, words hurt worse than sticks and stones, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. There's stuff that's incredibly personal, or that people, they don't realize the button they're pushing when they say it. Sometimes they mean to do it, sometimes they don't, but it hurts. And it's, you stay awake at night thinking about it. But for me, I've had to figure out for me, how do I give myself permission to wallow for up to 48 hours. And that doesn't mean that I go out, I try not to be wallowing in public. I try not to let other people see it. But I give myself for permission to feel bad for a little bit. And sometimes if it's a really big one, I give myself permission for more time and just say, hey, I'm going to feel bad about this. I'm going to go home. I'm going to cry in my closet about this. And then I will come out in public and put on my smiley face and then go back home and cry about it some more. Because one of my mentors a long time ago told me, don't bleed in the water when you're swimming with sharks. And so for me, sometimes crying is only an encouragement for the truly genuinely mean people, which I think are usually in the minority.
No, I think you're
right. There are some people that I do think it's just some pleasure out of watching you suffer. And so I try not to bleed in the water when I'm swimming with sharks. But to be able to just kind of put it and say, okay, I'm going to give myself permit. I'm going to go ahead and take the time to reflect on it. Was it fair? Was it not fair? Is there something I can do about it? Is there something I can't? And now that I figure that out, I'm going to go ahead and I feel bad. I made a mistake. Sometimes it's like, man, I really did mess up. That was a really bad mistake. And the critique was fair, and And then sometimes it's like, it's not fair, but man, that hit a button from my childhood that just leaving me like feeling really down and out. And so I give myself permission to feel bad for a couple of days. And then after that, if I'm still feeling bad, and what I've found for me, I kind of know my cycles and how long it takes me to kind of bounce back from something like that. If I'm still feeling bad about it, then I'm going to go find somebody that, you know, usually I've already talked to the people that I love the most and been like, hey, what do you think about this? But, you know, if it's something big, sometimes I'll go find a counselor and be like, hey, I'm not bouncing back from this. And this one's hitting me hard. I need some professional help on how to deal with this and how to cope. This is really hard. And that can be pretty helpful at times. So I think you need to give yourself permission. There's some, you know, if somebody stabbed you, you wouldn't, you know, it'd be one thing if you get a paper cut, yeah, you put a Band-Aid on it or whatever. But if you get stabbed in the side, you probably want to go to the ER and see somebody to help you, you know, get that figured out. And there are people out there that are Jack the Rippers that will stab you in ways that cut down to the depths of your psyche. And you need some professional help to figure out how to bandage the wound and how to heal and how to move on from that. And, you know, hopefully that's the rarity in the life of whoever's listening to this. But at the same time, if you aren't bouncing back, don't blame yourself for that. Just go say, you know, any more than you blame yourself for bleeding after being stabbed by somebody. Well, you wouldn't be like, oh, I'm so sorry that I'm getting blood on the carpet. It's like, no, I got stabbed. Yeah. I need to go get help. And so, you know, don't be afraid to go look for professional help. At a minimum, go talk to people who love you and process through with them. And, you know, also remember, I try to also remember that the people who love me are going to be biased in my favor. So I don't always count on them to tell me whether what was said was fair or unfair, because I want them to be on my side. And sometimes it's just nice to have somebody like, oh, that's completely not right. But at the same time, talk to the people that love you, talk to the people who care about you. Go talk to a pastor, go talk to somebody here at the Whole Life team that can chat with you about it and walk you through it. Life is rough. And there's going to be these moments in every single person's life. And I think Aubrey Cern this week was just a really good reminder. for those of us who, you know, for all of us, that we can control what we do. So we can control the words that come out of our mouth. We can think whether we're speaking life or whether we're creating pain and on harm. And all of us have done it. Like Aubrey said, I know I, being a redhead, being left-handed, being Ken, you know, whatever.
I've heard the redhead one, but not the left-handed one. That's a new
one.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, left, you know, left-handers are, that's like being left-handed is being considered, it's sinister in Latin. Oh. Yeah. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah. You had no idea.
It explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, got a lot going on. Oh, man. I was trying to back away from that one really quick. I think you're just still coming after me because of the toothbrush stuff that we were talking about earlier.
Moving on.
Yes.
Speak life.
No, but giving, I think maybe the thing that resonated the most with what you just said was just giving yourself some time and permission. Growing up, that was not something that we were granted, was giving yourself permission. You want to cry? You want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about.
Or you have so much to be grateful for. Why are you going to be down about this? Yes. You know, you're so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Sometimes just because you have a lot to be grateful for, it doesn't mean that, you know, that didn't hurt.
Right.
You know, so I think that, and that's, can I just say that to those in speaking life? Maybe when somebody's hurting, be careful about what you tell them. Well, you just need to be more grateful. If you're grateful that you can, you know, well.
Yeah, but.
And maybe it's okay that hurt. And let's give you a moment to go ahead and say, ouch, that stung. You know, if I slam my finger with a hammer, it's okay for me to dance around for a minute or two.
Yeah.
And kind of recover slowly from that because it hurt.
And take that time. That's such good advice to just, doesn't often have answers. And even it may not have answers in a couple of days, but the sting is going to be less and you're going to be more likely to move forward. Well, again, I think we were blessed both with Steve and with Aubrey, and, you know, Steve coming in as the newbie.
I was told by a couple of people I didn't need to come back, so I'm down for that.
All right. Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, they were like, hey, this is pretty good stuff.
You're the boss, so you let us know what you're up to and we'll schedule accordingly.
I've been told I'll be back.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Okay, good.
This week,
good.
I hear.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, look at you.
Well, I have good news and I have bad news.
That's what I've been waiting for.
Yeah? Tell us more, Aubrey.
I want to know what the good news and bad news is. I announced at the end of my sermon that it's either going to be good or bad. So what is it, Ken?
Should I tell them what do you think, Melanie? Do I give the podcast people?
I think podcast people deserve a little extra.
Oh, man.
Teaser.
So, Aubrey, do you want the good news first or the bad news? Bad news? Melanie, do you want the good news or the bad news first?
Yeah, I'm a bad news first person.
Randy, bad news or good news first?
I'll take the good news first.
Oh, yeah. You're a good news first person.
You know, I'm like, let's get started with something to soften the blow and then let's just cave the rest in because I don't really want to hear the good news after the bad news. I could care less.
So I have a 2-part series.
Okay.
The good news and the bad news.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
And our service, the congregation is going to get to vote on whether they want the bad news first or the good news first.
Wait,
both,
what happens
both sermons if, are on the table.
So what happens if first service wants one and second service wants the other?
Yes.
You got it.
Let's go!
And next week we'll just flip-flop.
Yeah.
Dude, here for it.
So if you got the good news this Sabbath, you'll get the bad news next Sabbath. And if you got the bad news this Sabbath, you'll get the here's the greatest mistake somebody could make. If it does go where it's two different ones, if you come to the first service when you went to the second service the week before, you will hear the same sermon again.
That's right. So
you might hear the bad news twice.
You'll want to go to the same service
2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. So if you went to first service this week, you want to go to first service next week, unless both services agree on which they prefer first.
Yeah, you never know. So here it is for you too, podcast listeners. You can give us your vote by text or email 407-965-1607 or podcast at wholelife.church. But they have to be in no later than
Friday afternoon.
Yeah, let's say Friday afternoon. That gives a fair chance because
we're let's go ahead and say that we will give. So the way we're, should I say how we're doing it? How we're gauging this?
So
in the worship center, there's going to be a decibel meter. And so whichever one the decibels are higher for, that'll be the one that goes first. So I think I will give to our podcast a +2
okay.
decibels. I like it. +2
For whatever so they
your vote counts.
Your vote counts
say.
By 2 decibels.
So if you pick, if the podcast listeners respond and they say, we want the good news first, then in the worship center, the decibel meter will have to be at least 2 decibels higher if yeah. the bad news is going to happen.
Okay, so also, if you're a podcast
this
listener...
This is not complicated at all.
No.
I'm sure I'll be able to figure this out Sabbath morning.
On the fly.
No problem.
No problem.
Yeah, it'll happen.
And so then, if you are also joining us online, you may not vote twice.
How do you know? What if they have multiple accounts?
I'm putting you on the
honor system.
Don't know
what if they're in church on Sabbath? Do they get to clap or...
No.
Oh, really?
No, you have to stop. You can't clap. You already got two decibels. That's
you know
not,
what,
that's,
Randy?
Just a minute ago,
you said I was the boss, so I'm going to make an executive decision, and we're going to give extra credit to people who listen to the podcast. You get 2 votes, really.
All right, there
if
you
you're
go.
At church and if you're here.
So. I've been right. outvoted, and I'm happily so, because I think the podcast listener should get something a little
so
extra
wait,
special.
Then how's it going to work for the online people?
So at the beginning of the church service, our online hosts are going to say, I don't know, either put the clap emoji or a thumbs up if you, and so they'll say, if you want the good news first, give us a thumbs up. And so we'll count up the thumbs ups that come through. If you want the bad news first,
give us a thumbs down.
Yeah. Give us a thumbs down or whatever. And so I think what I'll probably do is give a 2.5 for both. So 2.5 for our...
Oh, that makes sense.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Or maybe that's I should... That's some serious decibelage.
Should I do podcast 2, online 3, or should I just keep it 2.5 each? What do you guys think?
Well, I vote for fair.
Since we're coming up on the fly with this.
Yeah, I think 2.5 sounds right.
Sure, 2.5.
Each.
Okay. Yep.
All right.
I like it.
It's for a total of 5. That's... Five
that's
decibels can be a very...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I'm pretty loud, though, so I feel like I could sway this.
I'm going to say... Obi's like, I am showing up for both and I am going to make some noise.
Aubrey, I might have you show up to second to swing it. Towards what happened.
Ken's got a ringer in the
I actually have both sermons are already in the can. They're done.
Very
we actually
nice.
Have all the graphics ready to go for them. So
we're good no matter what.
Ken's going to be on vacation right, for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
So for those of you who thought I was doing nothing
he's been
while
prepping.
Aubrey and Steve were preaching.
Here you go.
I did a little something.
Well, and don't forget, you heard it here first, especially if you were here Wednesday morning, like my anonymous friend who's waiting anxiously by the hour for me to post that beautiful bean footage. It's not actually footage. It's, well, whatever.
I don't know what's going on
me
here.
Me either. I'm lost. Yeah. All right.
It's okay. Well, Aubrey, thank you again for your message and for coming here today and hanging out with us. It's always a good time to have somebody new that we can have fun with. So thank you. And thank you for the message. And thank you guys for listening. I know summertime I've been watching and I see the numbers start creeping up. And I know that, back in school. And now we have our commute to school and and back to work. And we're starting to catch up on episodes. So if you found anything you still wanted answers to, you can still send those in. The same number, 407-965-1607 or podcast@wholelife.church and send them in. We'll still answer them because we're good that way.
You are good that way.
That's it. So for all of us, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening and just have a fantastic week.
Ten-minute synopsis on a 25-minute sermon.
Yes.
By the way, my wife was very impressed. She said, "Pay attention to Aubrey. Look at her. She gets done right on time."
Oh, snap! Diggly do.
I feel like that should have been. I hope you pressed record.
I did. We'll put that in. We'll put that in at the end for anyone that sticks around afterwards. They can be like, if you listen past the music, there's a little Easter egg from Ken there. Oh, man.